Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's a great joy for me to be back. I've been away for a couple of weeks on a trip to Ghana, where I attended a Langham preaching conference or consultation for all the leaders of Africa of Langham preaching in Ghana. It was a great blessing to fellowship together with other team members of Langham preaching. You know, every time I attend a Langham preaching event, we have a training coming up in December. I know some of you are already scheduled and registered to attend that preaching seminar, training ourselves to be better preachers. Every time I attend such an event, or like I did in Ghana, I realize that Langham preaching and being involved with Langham preaching, it indicates to others that I am a very good preacher. And I want to deny that claim in your minds right now. Langham preaching is not for those who are good preachers, but for those who are looking to be better preachers. And I know I need to grow in my preaching and my ability to share God's word. And that's why I am grateful for Langham preaching and for others who are learning with me. So I'm not a good preacher. The Lord God Almighty, He is the good preacher. Right? And I need His help as I preach God's word to you today. Because without His help, I will certainly not succeed in doing a good job. So, won't you bow with me as we pray as we start? Because I need God's help to preach, and you need God's help to listen. So let us bow and ask God for His help. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we have the privilege of calling you our Father. And you look out for us and you look after us. And Father, as we are together here and we unite our voices in our hearts, as we address you as Father, we recognize that all of us together are also your children. And that makes us family. And so we thank you for the privilege that we, who are your sons and daughters, we who are a family gathered here, can come together and listen to your word. Your word has been read for us already this morning. It's a word which you inspired by your Holy Spirit so many thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, by your servant. And yet, Lord, we still need your help to understand this word which you have inspired. So please, Lord, won't you open our eyes, open our hearts that we can hear from you, that we can see you in this text, and that you will be glorified in our lives as we put it into practice. Please won't you help me, Lord, by your Holy Spirit as I preach. May I speak clearly the word you have laid on my heart. And won't you help each one of us, even including myself, to listen for your voice speaking to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am, as you know, a father. I've recently become a father. I know some of you are parents here. Many parents are here. And I wonder if you will know this to be true. Maybe you can even think back, if you're not a parent, think back to the time when you were a child. Think back to a time when you found yourself alone, where your parents weren't around. And kids, if you can think back to a time yourself when you got lost and your mom and dad wasn't around, how scary that might have been for you. Just recently, I experienced this with my own son. We were out at a market and my son was with me and my wife was somewhere else and exploring the markets together. And then as we moved around, I found my wife. And my boy was excited to see his mother. And he wanted to go to his mother. And so I put him on the ground and he went off to his mother. I told the mother, there is your son. And they saw each other and I continued alone and my wife continued with my boy. But it wasn't very long that I started to hear the voice and the sound of my son screaming in terror. I know the voice of my son in the noise of all that crowd. And I went to go and see, and there I found him all alone, standing in the middle of that market, crying. The tears from his eyes were coming out like this, you know. It wasn't even coming down. He was so afraid that the tears were shooting from his eyes. Until he saw me again. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And I went to pick him up and console him. Because he felt he was alone. His mom was not by his side. His dad was not by his side. The people he knew he could trust to look after him were not there. I wonder if you can think of a time in your own life when you were a kid, or even as an adult, when you felt alone and you felt scared because no one is there looking out and looking after you. This psalm this morning is going to help us to see that we are not alone, but that the Lord is with us. He's the one by our side. This morning, the title that I've given to our sermon comes from the last verse in the psalm, Psalm chapter 124, verse 8. If you turn your eyes there, you will see it there. It's in that last verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That means we do have help. We do have help and we're not alone. As we start the psalm in verse 1, we see a similar idea coming out there in verse number 1. Look with me to psalm number 1. In the ESV Bible, it reads like this. If the Lord had not been, let me repeat, or start again rather, not repeat because I made a mistake. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I want you to see that that is repeated two times. Verse 2 starts exactly with the same words. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. This is an important part of this psalm. And in fact, as we start looking at the psalm, I want you to see how this psalm is structured. So in the verse 1 and 2, we see this repeated phrase, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. It says repeated twice. We'll come back to that now, but just look to verse number 4, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5. That's the next section. The next section. Each starts with the word then. Then. Then, it says, then something would have happened. Then another thing would have happened. Then another thing would have happened. We have three times where the psalm talks about what would have happened if the Lord was not on our side. So in fact, the first section, verse 1 and 2, and the second section, verse 3 to 5, are linked together because they're a conditional statement. If it was not the Lord, then this would have happened. But I want us to see this as two distinct parts because the first part focuses on who was by our side. The second part, which is in the middle, focuses on what would have happened. The destruction, the fear, the terror that could have come over us. And then I want you to see again the last part of the psalm starts from verse 6. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, all included in the last part of this psalm. We're going to see, as we look at it in detail later, that this part of the psalm is focused on what is. What is. Starts of verse 6, blessed be the Lord, or blessed is the Lord. Look at verse 7, the middle part there. The snare is broken. It is, right? And the last verse, which is the title in our message today, also has that word is in there. Our help is. Our help is. Okay? So we see the three parts of the psalm. The first part starts, if it was not the Lord who was by our side. The second part says, then some terrible things would have happened. The last part says, blessed is God. The snare is broken. Our help is in the Lord. Amen? Let's go through this together, starting from the first part of the psalm. Verse 1, we've already seen, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I want you to notice that part in the middle that says, let Israel say. This is, some of your translations might translate that as an imperative. Israel must now say. In the Hebrew, the word please is used. Please, let Israel say. This is something that we need to say. If the Lord had not been on our side. My first point in this sermon is that we need to attribute victory to the Lord. Attribute victory to the Lord. Please, don't think that you have arrived where you have arrived today through your own strength. Sometimes we can make that mistake, eh? We can say, look at me, look at what I've done. I went through all these challenges and I survived. It was by myself. Here, this is a psalm of David, as we see in the title. This is a psalm of David. It's a song of ascents also, which was used during the time that Israel was approaching the temple for their festivals. And even as they arrived at Jerusalem, they would be singing the song together. It's not by my own strength that I've arrived. It's not by my own strength that I am who I am. Or that we have our land which is given to us. No, if it was not the Lord who was by our side, it wouldn't have been successful. We would not have arrived where we have arrived. In the book of 1 Samuel, just before David became king, we have a story. I think many of you know the story. But let me tell you the story in case you don't know it. Israel was in a battle with the Philistines. And as they were in this battle, they were starting to lose the battle. The Philistines were getting victory over the Israelites. And the Israelites started to feel, oh, we're going to lose this war. And so they thought, we need some help. And they decided to go and take the Ark of the Covenant from the tabernacle. They said, this Ark of the Tabernacle, if we have this by our side, then we will have victory and we will defeat the enemies. And so they went and they collected the Ark of the Tabernacle and they brought it into their army camps. And they were very excited. In fact, the whole army, when they saw the Ark of the Covenant being carried into their midst, they got so excited. They let out a big, excited a shout. And the Philistines thought, what is this now? Why are they so excited? And they discovered that it was because the Ark of the Covenant had come into the camp. The Israelites thought, if we have this by our side, we will be successful. But as the story goes on, when they continued to fight, the Philistines still were able to defeat the Israelites. In fact, the Philistines defeated them so bad, the Philistines even captured the very same Ark of the Covenant and they took it with them to their own land. What does the story teach us? If it was not the Lord who is by their side, they would be defeated. They had something else by their side. They had the Ark of the Covenant by their side. They thought this is going to give us victory. But it didn't. Because it was not the Lord. It was not the Lord who was by their side. It was this Ark. They had the superstition. They said, this charm, this thing, this powerful thing can help us. It could not. Because it was not the Lord. David, here in this psalm, he's telling the Israelites. He says, we are here in Jerusalem. If it was not the Lord who was by our side, we wouldn't have had the city. We wouldn't have had the success. We wouldn't have been even survived. Attribute the victory to the Lord. Don't try to attribute to some superstitious thing or to yourself. That is our mistake so often. Our mistake so often. We want to attribute to ourselves. When David, later on, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he went and faced the giant Goliath, he knew it was not in his own strength. He knew it was the Lord who was by his side, who was bigger than that giant, who was going to give him the victory. He even said to King Saul, when King Saul asked him, but you're just a little boy, how can you go and face this Goliath? He said, well, the Lord was with me when I killed the bear and the lion who tried to kill my sheep. The Lord was with me then. It wasn't my own strength. It was the Lord who was with me then. Now, even now, when I stand in front of this giant, it is the Lord who will help me defeat this giant. David said to the giant as he came up to him, and he said, I come against you in the name of the Lord, whom you have defied. And he said, everyone, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. What is David doing? He was attributing victory to the Lord. He knew he would not succeed unless the Lord was by his side. Let me ask you this morning. Is the Lord by your side? Can you say, like the psalmist says, if it wasn't for the Lord who was by my side? Can you look back in your past and look at this, at the challenges that you have faced, that you have come through and you have survived? And can you see God's hand in that? Can you attribute the victory to the Lord? This is looking at the past. And we should take time today and look to the past in our lives and see how God has taken us through those very bad times. And so this morning, my first point, I want to encourage you. Attribute your success, your survival, your victory to the Lord and not to anything else, not to yourself, how we so often are tempted to do. I would love for you to be able to say this. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have been here today. My second point, acknowledge the enemy's power. Acknowledge the enemy's power. This is a part in the psalm that really describes how devastating it would have been. How strong the enemy is. How angry the enemy is. But we also have to include, we are not just acknowledging the enemy's power, but also his defeat. Because this psalm, this part of the psalm, verse 3 to 5, look there, we've already seen it. It says, then something would have happened. In other words, it didn't happen. It could have happened. It would have happened. But it didn't happen. Why? Because the Lord was on our side. Okay? The enemy has been defeated. But look at how the enemy has been described in this passage. It's very terrifying. It's very terrifying. Look, verse 3. Verse 2 says, when people rose up against us. So here we have an idea, people rising up against us. And I think each of us can, in our minds, think about certain situations where people have become our enemies and risen up against us. That's one of the aspects. But look there at verse 3. Then they would have swallowed us up alive. Swallowed alive in their fury, when their anger was kindled against us. When their anger was kindled against us. I love the vivid picture that the psalm actually creates here. In the Hebrew language, it actually says, when their nose became on fire, when their nose was kindled. You know, I don't know if it works so much in your culture. I know your skin color is darker than ours, but in the culture in which this was written, people also have lighter skin color and like similar to us, but not as light as what mine is. But when people get angry, the blood comes up to the head, right? And their face gets all full of blood, which causes the nose to become red. And you can actually see when somebody is angry, when his nose is starting to flare up, right? And that's the language the Bible is using. He's got a red nose. His nose is on fire. His nose is on fire. And oftentimes, when people are angry, their lips also spew out their anger. So it doesn't just see it in the nose, somebody is on fire, but what they say is on fire as well. And sometimes we feel when people are angry at us, then that we are feeling their fire. You know, you can see what an angry face looks like. I'm sure you've seen one in your own life. Yeah, they're saying here is an angry face. This guy's got a face that's on fire and he's swallowing you up. Can you imagine being swallowed up by somebody whose face is on fire? Swallowed alive. That means it's a threat to your life. Sometimes the things people say to us also can be really, really hurtful and destroying. But it's not just what people say. This is also an enemy that is much greater than just people. You know, it's the devil that often works behind people. It's sin that works behind people. The devil is not very happy that God loves you. The devil's not very happy that you are a child of God. We see that in the Garden of Eden, where the devil came to tempt Eve to sin because he didn't want Eve and God to have a relationship. And that's often what happens. Our very life with God, our relationship with God, our life is at threat because there is an enemy. His face is on fire and he's kindled with fury against you. And he wants to swallow you up alive. If it wasn't for the Lord by your side, you can't survive that. You can't survive that. The next image that we see is in verse 4. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Here we can see water is now involved. It's no longer a fiery face, but it's water. It's drowning. Water rising up. Water coming over. Water flooding us. That means I can't breathe. When the water comes over, you can't breathe. You die. Your life is at risk. And in fact, in verse 5, when it says there that the torrent would have gone over us, the Hebrew word for us is very explicit and very clear. The torrent would have gone over your soul or your life, your very existence. So when you see the word there, us, I want you to realize it's not just us, it is our soul, our life. This is a tragic situation. When the water rises up, when the torrent is like a river. In fact, that's the Hebrew word. The river would have gone over us. Imagine in the Zambezi River, the water going over you and rushing over you. You can't breathe underwater. You are out of control. This enemy is powerful. These verses get increasingly more intense. As even we get to verse 5, it repeats the same idea. Then over us, then over our soul would have gone the raging water. This is a poem, so there's poetic license here. And I want you to see water that is rushing, but is also got an angry face. The water itself is angry. It's raging. The water is full of anger as it comes over you, over your soul, over your life. This enemy that is being described here is a very powerful enemy. I wonder, as you think about your own situation, where you are even right now, it is possible that you are experiencing this very enemy near to you. The devil's anger. The devil is a deceiver. He comes to deceive. He comes to tempt. We have a sinful nature that works within us. It also seeks to draw us down and draw us away from God. We battle with sin. And sin is the enemy. Maybe we're struggling with addiction. Could be an addiction to cigarettes or to alcohol. An addiction to pornography, which is so rife amongst us, so easily accessible. And it is such an enemy that when it gets hold of you, you feel like you're being drowning. The water is above you. You can't breathe. Your soul is dying. The water is rushing you away. The water is angry at you and you cannot escape. This is the idea of addiction, stuck in a trap. This is a powerful enemy. Some of us might even be in a practical situation where we're overwhelmed and engulfed, flooded over by debt. That we owe people too much money. We don't know how we're going to get out of it. Except by taking another loan to pay this one to keep him happy with the interest. Then have to take another loan here. Just keep going deeper and deeper into debt. These are very, very serious enemies. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in a job that is not treating you well, not paying you well. Can't get out of it. Stuck. Enemy is real. I want you to remember that when God created the world, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in fact, we've got that very reference in the last line in the psalm. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who made the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 tells us God made the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. That's how Genesis 1 verse 1 describes the creation. And here we have waters raging and angry. The enemy trying to take your life. But I want you to remember that God, by His Holy Spirit, is the one who hovers over the water. God is the one by His Spirit who... In the picture of creation, we can see how He separates land from water. He gives a space for life. He fills the land with life and trees and birds and people and animals. He fills the ocean with life. God is a God who is in control over the waters and the raging waters. That's why the psalm says here, if it had not been the Lord, who is with us by our side, then we would have been consumed by the angry face. Then we would have been killed by the raging waters. Then we would have, our lives, our souls would have been taken away by the raging angry waters. But that repeated phrase, would have, indicates that it did not. It did not. Brothers and sisters, when you look back at your situation, you can say the same, I'm sure. If it was not for the Lord who was by our side, I would have been taken up by debt. I would have been stuck in addiction. I would have been consumed by angry people. And my life would have been taken away in a job that I don't want to be in. But it did not happen because the Lord is by our side. And that brings me to the last point. Accept God's help. Accept God's help. Or help from the Lord. The psalmist here says in no uncertain terms, as he starts this section, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be is also blessed is God. God is a God who is blessed. God is a God of blessing. What kind of blessing did he do here? What kind of blessing did he help us with? The psalm says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us to, not given us as prey to their teeth. Remember that angry face with the nose that's full of fire and the mouth full of fire? Here we have their teeth which are trying to consume you. Blessed be the Lord who has not given you. He has not given you as prey to their teeth. That means he's held you. He's not given you. He's not allowed it. He's protected you. He's the one by your side. Blessed is the Lord, the God who protects us. Look at the next verse there, verse number 7. We have escaped. And I want you to actually see that phrase, we have escaped, is repeated in the first part of verse 7 and the last part of verse 7. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. We have escaped. This is the whole idea, right? The snare is broken. That's why we have escaped. So we have escaped because the snare is broken. The snare is no longer holding you. The waters can't keep you. Think about the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They came to the Red Sea. They were stuck and trapped, and the enemy was about to consume them. But the Lord broke the snare. He opened the waters. He's in control of the waters. He broke the snare and allowed his people to escape. Blessed be the Lord God who is with us, who has not given us to the teeth of the enemy, who has broken the snare so that we can escape. The snare is broken. The snare is broken. The trap is broken. And we have escaped. I wonder if you can say that today. We have escaped. That's a past tense. That's looking back to something in the past. And I wonder if you can say that. I have escaped. Maybe today you feel like you're still trapped and you still feel like the enemy is against you. My prayer is that today you'll be able to say, we have escaped. Because the last verse tells us where our help is. Not where our help was. Our help is. This is a verse that is now helping us to see the present, today, where we are standing right now. Looking into the future. Our help is in the Lord. Our help is in the Lord. So today, if you are facing a situation where you are feeling the waters are rising against you, you feel like your life is being snatched away by the situation you're in, whether it is in addiction or sin or temptation are even in debt or in a job that you feel trapped in, I want you to know your help is in the Lord. I want you today to be able to say with confidence, my help is in the Lord. Because Jesus is the one who has broken the snare. Jesus is our help. Jesus defeated the snare even of death itself. Death cannot hold us. One day we will all die. But death cannot hold us in the trap because the snare is broken. Because Jesus died on that cross. And he went to the grave and he broke open the tomb. He broke open death. He destroyed and defeated death. Jesus broke the tomb open. When Jesus died on that cross, there was a thief who was crucified right next to him. I wonder, you know, Jesus said to that thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I wonder when that thief arrived at paradise and people asked him, "How did you get here? You a thief. Huh? What are you doing here in this place? Paradise. This is not for thieves." Maybe he replied like this: "If it had not been that the one who was crucified next to me was the Lord, I wouldn't be here. Wouldn't be here today." Brothers and sisters, without the Lord, we will not escape death. We will not escape sin. We will not be able to survive situations that seem to oppress us. But with the Lord's help, we can endure. And we can and will see victory because the Lord is our help. He is the one who is by our side. We attribute our victory and our life and our success to him, not to ourselves or to anything else. The enemy may be powerful. The enemy may be scary. But God is bigger than that enemy. God has defeated the enemy. Trust in the Lord who defeated death and who has conquered. Amen.